Welcome back to the Roundtable, 9:13 on a Thursday morning. Kind of a gray precursor to autumn here, a little rain falling in the Albany area. It is the Roundtable panel today. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. Today's panel, boy, it's a gold standard today. Or at least fiat currency, right?
On paper.
Right. On paper, exactly. Alan Sharthock is here, or will be shortly. Ira Fussfeld, Rosemary Armeo. Now, while we're waiting for the gang from the Media Project to file in, let me just tell you about the emailing thing here. We're happy to hear from you. We love it. We read your letters, most of them, at panel@wamc.org. Panel@wamc.org. Now, some ground rules. Short. Brief letters, you know, paragraph, get your point across on topic. Don't include the links. Don't include the attachments. Try not to use abbreviations. And for heaven's sake, proofread your emails. We have a difficult enough time sounding like we know how to read without having to read typos. One per day per customer. And this was added, and this is occasionally added for my benefit. As much as I personally enjoy sarcasm, it doesn't always translate too well to the printed word. So we'll have to guess your tone. Better to be forthright and direct. Right, Rosemary?
No, I'm a big fan of sarcasm.
No, I love it too, but it's a delicate art, right?
There should be a different typeface for sarcasm, you know, like something in between italics and bold. Oh. It's like, oh, the sarcastic tone.
Don't get saucy with me, Bernays. So what's happening with you, Rosemary?
Not too much. My mother is suffering from the end of summer blues.
Oh, yeah?
And I have to try to keep her cheerful through all that, and it's impossible. She just looks out and sighs.
Wow. But it was hot yesterday.
God,
It was like summer yesterday.
Yeah. It was gorgeous.
And now it's cool today.
I know.
This is one of those things.
We sound like we're filling.
We are filling. Well, what do you want to talk about?
Trump's badness. Well, you don't want to talk about
we
that.
Know that's coming.
We know that's coming.
There's plenty of conversation ahead on the round table. Well, I can't believe how long they're taking in there.
It really makes you wonder what the heck they're talking about.
Well, it's a half-hour show, right?
Yes.
Now they're on 45 minutes. So apparently somebody in programming has made a change.
They're talking about media mishaps. There have been none of those.
And you've retired, right?
Yes, I have. I gave up overseas because Mom just shouldn't be alone.
That's
so
nice,
I came back.
Though. I mean,
I know, but I'm still keeping busy.
So. Are you having a difficult time sort of adjusting to not being...
It doesn't feel real yet. It's like I have no deadlines. It's like strange.
Yeah.
So it just still feels like a long week.
Well, you can make deadlines.
I know. I have to do them artificially. Like, clean those dishes by 7:30 or the wrath of God is upon
you. So you're yelling at your mom, basically. Yeah. You're on deadline, Mom! Well, I think we have our roundtablers coming here in a moment. Oh, look who's here.
Oh, it's, they're filing in.
Ira. Slowly. Hi, Ira. We've been vamping, you know.
Vamping. Is
what
that
the
like
heck is going
but
on?
But not vaping.
No vaping. Not allowed. What is going on over there in the Media Project?
Nothing. We're here.
Oh, you're here,
good.
Too.
Hi.
Oh, that's terrific.
We're here. Hi, Rosemary.
How
Always
are you, dear?
Always wonderful to hear your voice.
That's Radio's Alan Sharthock, ladies and gentlemen. And Ira Fussfeld, publisher emeritus of the Daily Freeman, is also here today. And that's our panel this morning.
Oh, did you already announce the most important person here, Rosemary Armeo?
Of course.
We've been talking for like 17 minutes while we're waiting for you to finish up the media
in,
project.
Yeah.
You've been vamping till
Vera. We've been, you know, Vera, it's my fault.
Ah.
I sent the topics out last night.
As I didn't get them.
And Vera also didn't get them and thought she was not needed today.
Ah.
So I apologize to everyone who was waiting to hear Vera Carius Kelly today. This is on me. The Supreme Court is allowing nationwide enforcement of a new Trump administration rule that prevents most Central American migrants from seeking asylum in the United States. The justice's order late Wednesday temporarily undoes a lower court ruling that had blocked the new asylum policy in some states along the southern border. The policy meant to deny asylum to anyone who passes through another country on the way to the U.S. without seeking protection there. Most people crossing are Central Americans, largely ineligible under the new rule, as are asylum seekers from Africa, Asia, South America, who arrive regularly at the southern border. And this reverses a decision by U.S. District Judge John Tiger in San Francisco. He had blocked the policy from all four states from taking place in July. Then a three-judge panel of the Ninth Circuit Court, traditionally a rather liberal court, said, no, this can only be applied in areas of the Ninth Circuit, and that's Arizona and California. Tiger issued a new order on Monday, reimposed the nationwide hold on the asylum policy. The Ninth Circuit again on Tuesday narrowed that order. The Supreme Court has weighed in. We go to Rosemary first.
Well, I think what strikes me the most is how compliant the Supreme Court, the newly constituted under Trump Supreme Court, has become to the president. They give him the benefit of the doubt while the long legal battles continue. And I think it's going to lead to incredible, well, aside from the unfairness of it, because I do think he'll lose eventually, is how confusing it's becoming.
Why would you think he'd lose?
Well,
I mean,
I guess that's a good point, too, under the new Supreme Court, whether they'll find some way around it. But it does, at least as it's presented in the liberal newspapers that I read, seems to be a great variation from what we have always done and what has always been done. And even our allies, Canada, has now said, okay, the refugees America rejects, we'll take in. Doesn't sound like they're on our side either.
Well, I'm sure you're right that they're not. That's why so many people admire the Canadians for what they're doing. Right. Nevertheless, Judge Neil Gorsuch, I believe it was, just gave a speech. I think probably pushing a book, in which he said, the rule of law is well established in this present Supreme Court, and I don't think so. I think the whole idea here by the framers was, as a political scientist who studied this a little bit, was that you get two houses, political houses, and you get an arbiter, the Supreme Court of the United States, which is fair. I think what's happened here is, and you're right, Rosemary, you're right on the money. Trump appointed these people. There was a litmus test applied, and now they're performing as expected.
Except in this particular instance, although he may well have prevailed because of what you just described, because he has his solid five, it would seem. This was a 7-2, so he didn't. It was not necessarily along ideological lines, at least from the this is a preliminary decision.
Correct. This is a temporary decision. Yeah. Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Sonia Sotomayor dissented.
Surprise.
Sotomayor wrote, "Once again, the executive branch has issued a rule that seeks to upend longstanding practices regarding refugees who seek shelter from persecution."
Well, look, to me, I would like to say I'm from Missouri, although I'm not. You'd have to prove it to me. I think it's clear that what I've said is true. These people now are owned and operated by Trump. End of discussion.
It is. I mean, it used to be that the courts would hold things status quo until the battle was fought. And now we're seeing increasing number of times. I'm thinking of the Muslim ban, too, or the travel ban after it had been revised three times. They allowed that to go through while the battle continued. And that gives an advantage to Trump, you know, that his people put into place a policy and you see what happens and he says, oh, look at, you know, this is working great. It always gives an advantage to the side who is working the system, and Trump has gotten that. Nope.
Hearing nothing. I'll tell you one of the interesting.
Well, you can always hear something from me. But,
feel free. We're waiting. Go ahead.
Waiting? Did you just say waiting?
We're waiting.
Now that Vera's not here today, there's a lot more time for you to contribute because you usually don't.
That's for sure.
Well. You know, I think we've pretty well covered this. There will be people who think that these justices are fair and unbiased, and they will write letters to us and say that, but I don't.
There's one more news event happening yesterday that at least touches on this peripherally, and that is the new federal judge nominee that the Senate interviewed yesterday. He's an aide to – help me with his name. He's an aide to Stephen Miller and has been active in all the immigration policies that we've seen, like DACA and keeping people away from asylum, and he was just – horrifying in his appearance before the Judiciary Committee yesterday, refusing to answer any questions, even like, were you involved in this, in discussion of this case? And he goes, oh, I can't talk, you know, that's confidential.
Well, those of us who don't like Trump in the polls say that that's the majority of the country and wonder how his supporters are sticking with him and what appealed
yes.
Him, you know, in the first place. And there are usually three items that are pointed
to.
This
is one of them.
And this is, the in many cases, the primary one, the courts and the judges. The other ones being regulation and tax cuts.
Now, I believe that was the 150th judge. Was he confirmed, right?
I don't know if he was confirmed. I saw a clip of White House really grilling him, but I do not know.
Because I believe the 150th federal judge was confirmed this week.
Yeah.
And so regardless of whether Donald Trump wins another round.
Oh, his legacy is in stone.
Oh, it's already, it's already going to. The new guy, and I'm searching for his name here, it's ridiculous. I'm having a senior moment. But he was only nominated 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. They did an expedited rush to get him confirmed. And it's unclear whether he will be, because it was both Republicans and Democrats who found him faulty and
well, we know of any number of instances where the vetting process of this administration is not, shall we say, complete. And if there may be somebody like this person who even they might have to agree is not really worthy.
The email address here, by the way, is panel@wamc.org. We've been over the rules, but feel free to send us a quick note. panel@wamc.org. One of the interesting things about this Supreme Court ruling, and going back to Judge Tiger's original ruling and then being narrowed by the Ninth Circuit Court, is he originally made this a nationwide stay of the policy. The Ninth Circuit said, no, it can only apply to our circuit. Mm-hmm. And so you would expect then that precedent to be used a lot in the future. In other words, this you cannot slap this rule down, a ban or this and that, only in our circuit.
Well, fortunately, since you're discussing precedent, we now know that it's precedent that if there is a vacancy in the Supreme Court next year, the Senate won't take it up, right? Because they didn't take up what's his
McConnell
name?
McConnell has already said he would be taking
it.
Of course I would nominate someone.
Yeah, but I'm drawing a blank on the guy that
Merrick Garland,
yeah.
I that was a horror, but I blame Obama for that. Why was that never contested? Mm-hmm. I don't get it. You know, he was just so confident that Hillary would get in, and Merritt, or a nominee of her choosing, would get in, that he did not challenge it. And that should have been challenged. It would be hard for me to think of even the originalist on the court saying, oh, yeah, it's fine not to let
and Rosemary,
Obama
how,
appoint. Terrible.
And how would that challenge have worked?
I think that the president would have, or his lawyers would have brought a challenge that the Senate was unconstitutionally blocking him from doing his duty, and I believe he would have been upheld. There's nothing in the Constitution that says what is McConnell's new theory, that if the president is in his last term and the Senate is held by a different party, you don't get to pick a nominee. That's not in the Constitution.
Yeah, the problem is that, I'm sympathetic to your point. Believe me, I am, and I think this is terrible. Really, one of the worst things that's happened to this country. Nevertheless, in the end, the senators get to vote. They get to vote up or down. They vote to get yes or no, and that's
why. But they didn't vote, Alan. That's the whole point that would be the whole point. They did not hold a hearing.
I couldn't agree with you more. It's terrible. Nevertheless, if he doesn't hold a vote, he doesn't hold a vote. That's all there is.
Well, he got away with that, and partly he got away with that because Obama just thought that the moral weight would bear down on him and
the public
outrage.
Opinion, yeah.
Yeah, and it didn't.
Well, don't you think he's also don't you think he's also getting away with a lot because the Democrats now in this, as we sit, and in particular, I'm thinking about our friend Senator Schumer, have been terribly reticent in not exposing him and not putting the pressure on him.
Yep.
And where is the Democratic version of the Republicans' Benghazi ad infinitum? Yep. I mean,
only one I see it from is Nancy Pelosi, who yesterday was screaming at reporters, stop asking me stupid questions about gun control. Go talk to McConnell.
Yeah.
He's the one who's sitting on all the bills. And she's right about that. She's the only one. I see it from AOC, but she's pretty relatively.
Well, I just see Schumer as
a
minority follower, not the minority leader. And I agree.
I mean,
and I don't want to denigrate his weekly press conferences on Sunday, because it's like Senator Pothole D'Amato, there are certain smaller issues that are important in various localities. But you know, I saw him the other day. I don't even remember what the issue was, which in my mind says that's why it was so unimportant. Yeah. I don't remember it. But right. He was holding a press conference. It may have even been in my market. And I'm thinking to myself, why is he down here doing this? Goodness. And why isn't he in Washington raising hell? And
it's called re-election, by the way.
Well, you don't think that Senator Schumer, who is as secure in New York State as anybody, would is at risk if he lays it on Trump?
I tell you, Ira, I think anybody can lose in this day and age.
I cringe every time he says, oh, Trump is right. I get it that he agrees that a hard line on China is great and support of Israel. But when he says, oh, Trump is right in the Middle East, Trump is right in China, what's the strategy there? Trump then goes out and says, oh, see, even crying Chuck is
right. Well, if as Alan points out, if election is an issue, then he's not doing himself any
favors.
New York.
Yeah,
well, he thinks he is. He beat D'Amato all those years back. He took me to a restaurant. He said, I'm going to win. And I said, I don't know. D'Amato has all these people. He has this rabbi. He has that. And he said, well, I've got another one. And this is he knew what he was doing. He is the senator from New York.
All right. We have to take a brief break here. Alan Chartok is here on the panel. Alan, your voice is a little off today. You okay?
No, I have a little bit of a frog in my throat.
Well, yeah. We'll get you a lozenge. We'll take a break. Ira Fussfeld is here. Rosemary Armeo is here. You, of course, can join us at panel@wamc.org, panel@wamc.org. And you are listening to The Roundtable on WAMC. Got there, Mike Bowen. Cannonball Adderley. Oh, a nice bumper music, sir. Our engineer Mike Bowen does a fine job on the bumper music. I appreciate it very much. It's 9:33 on a Thursday morning. The roundtable in session. It's the roundtable panel. Rosemary Armeo is here. Ira Fussfeld, Alan Chartok. You can join us by emailing panel@wamc.org. Oh, the debate tonight. Joe Biden still leading in the polls. Elizabeth Warren. Bernie Sanders nipping at his heels. All of the top presidential candidates will share a debate stage tonight. A setting could make it harder to avoid skirmishes among the early front runners. The other seven candidates, meanwhile, are under growing pressure to prove they're still in the race to take on President Trump next November. It's the first debate of the 2020 cycle that's confined to one night. After several candidates have dropped out, others failed to meet the new qualification standards. I'll bet you our political observer, Alan Chartok, wants first sees on this. Go ahead.
Whoa. Could you repeat the question?
Oh, for Pete's sake.
No.
Rosemary Armeo.
Yes, I'll step in. We have another mass debate. It's going to look, I think, a lot like the last two we've had. 10 people up on the stage, all kind of champing at the bit to speak over the 2-minute or 1-minute limitations. They have a ridiculous setup, and talking about how they're different from each other, and they're supposed to do this and look incredibly smart and moderate and not like they're tramping on each other. And it's painful to watch. I'm only going to do it because it's homework.
Very painful. And I, as I was saying in the break, I was very happy to find out the debate wasn't last night, because then I would have felt compelled to watch it, knowing I'd be here today. I find these things to be terribly frustrating. I've said here and elsewhere, I hate the fact that they have audiences cheering and that the debaters can play to these audiences. I'd rather see them in a studio with nobody there but the moderators. I'm concerned about the tenor of these debates in this election more so than others, because the goal here is beat Trump. And if the 10 candidates have political differences philosophical differences, by all means, they should be expressed so the voters can determine who believes in what. But I don't want to see them fighting with each other. I don't want to see them looking to get a gotcha moment, and it's only going to accrue to the other side.
Well, I agree with everything you just said, except that that's the way it is. In other words, you know, your commentary is correct, but let's face it, that's the way that it is right now. And the name of the game is Joe Biden. He's way ahead. partially that's because of the black adult voters who have tremendous respect for him because of his work with Barack Obama.
You know, an interesting poll, Washington Post ABC poll this week, found among Democrats and Democrat-leaning voters, Biden, 29% support overall, but 45% thought he had the best chance to beat Trump, even though just 24% identified him as the best president for the country among the primary field. Figure that out.
There's several issues involved. One is electability. You know, people are asking, and Republicans as well as Democrats, is America ready for a woman? So that affects several of the candidates, including one of the leading ones, Elizabeth Warren. Electability. Is someone as irascible as Bernie Sanders and could be labeled as a socialist? Could he get in? Or nice, avuncular Joe Biden? Is that the sort of peaceful calm that will get in? That's one thing is electability, and the other is moderate and progressive. And he's the only moderate. Biden is the only moderate on that stage right now. Am I right?
I'm trying to think all the way through. Do we consider Yang a moderate? Not if he wants to give everybody
$1,000 to everyone. Come on, yeah.
And you didn't mention, although I believe you have in the past, I agree with you, I think Bernie and Joe Biden are too old.
Okay, yeah, now that's an interesting point.
I have an age thing.
Yeah. And Alan may have some thoughts on this, but Biden, Sanders, and Warren, 76, 78 at 70. I think the youngest person on the stage will be Buttigieg at 37, right?
Yes.
I think that is correct. Alan, what do you think? The leading three, too old?
Well, it's not what I think. It's what the voters think. Apparently, you know, Biden is leading. Now, if you add up all of Bernie and all of Elizabeth Warren, they far outdo Biden.
Right.
But neither of them is getting out. So that's just the way that the game is played, and those are the rules. I think Biden is seen as the anti-Trump because he's a decent fellow. And apparently, you not only have to worry about what's going to happen among the Democrats now, right? But you have to remember that there are going to be a lot of moderates, a lot of people, a lot of purples who are going to be voting in this election. And they don't seem, based on the national polls, to have anything against Biden's age.
I think Biden benefits from name recognition. You know, we've learned, those of us in the news business, I believe, are constantly shocked by how uninformed the public is. People and issues that are second nature to us, we find increasingly, or not just lately, but always, people just don't pay attention and they're not well informed.
But Ira, so what?
So what is that? That's how people are voting. And
your point
is that Biden is ahead for the reasons that he's ahead. And I'm suggesting another one is name recognition, which should not be a primary reason to vote for him in a primary.
Now, can I just say one more thing, Rosemary,
sure.
And then you go. Should Schmud? I mean, you know.
that was worth being shut up for.
Okay, go ahead.
I was going to say, let's not forget we have another ancient in the White House. So age may not
73.
Be. Yeah, age may not be an issue for many voters. But I think when you're looking at, not for Trump if he is to be reelected, but for a Democrat, you're looking at a possible 8 years ahead. That's really very old. And so, yes, I think it should be considered. However, the people most likely to consider it are the millennials who have issues with Biden and with others, too, who are rushing to cater to them on an environment, on college loan forgiveness, issues, by the way, that make Republicans and conservatives quake. So to appeal to them, they have to become more progressive, less like Biden, and they would be relying on an element of the voting population that is not reliable. We do not know whether millennials will come out. Mm-hmm. And yes, all you listeners out there saying, you know, we hate millennials and all that, fine, send your letters. But there's no proof other than some sort of increased participation in 2018 that they will get out and vote in an election when it really matters.
Mm-hmm. That's true, by the way. And 78-year-old Alan checking in here. I have a question for you guys, and that is, why should age be a disqualification? I think I know some of the answers. The age of death... Sorry about this, folks, but as a 78-year-old, I got to be aware that, you know, people are dying at 80, or a little less than that. You open the obituaries, you see it all the time. Mm-hmm. And that becomes very important in terms of deciding whether a guy can see his term through.
Yeah. You know, I don't want to be put in the position, I don't think Rosemary does, I don't want to put words in her mouth, of being against old people. I mean, we're talking about the presidency of the United States. If Joe Biden is now 78, is that worse?
No.
Bernie is 78.
Biden is 76.
Okay, so 76, that means if he to survive through two terms, he'd be in his mid-80s. And I just think that while there are perfectly brilliant people who are still vital at age 95, the odds are that the older you get, the less capacity you have. I mean, there are obviously exceptions, but there's more evidence that as you get older, you're not as sharp as you once were.
Correct.
And do you want to have somebody leading this country who is 84 years old or even 80 years old?
Now,
I take the view that Warren is within, as they might say, the margin of error. I mean, she's 70, if she makes it through first term, she's 74, and if she makes two terms, that's 78, which is where Bernie is.
So Trump then would be okay.
Trump has got Trump squeezes in. Trump, there's a lot of reasons not to like Trump. I'm not sure his age is at this point one of them.
Well, let me answer to that. We don't know what condition he's in.
Yes, that's true.
We've had debates here about how we cover his fitness,
yeah.
And I'm talking mental and physical acuity for office. We don't have an independent medical review of him. That would be something that maybe a new Democratic president could put into law rather than just tradition.
But a physical and mental an IQ test for
yes.
a president?
Yes, yes. I mean, I am an old person myself. I am not
that's
against
funny.
Old people, but I at retirement age, I know that I'm slower now than I was. I know that I want to take a nap in the middle of the afternoon, which I never would do. I'd work, 48 hours in a row.
Yeah.
And this is someone who has a job a lot more important than any job I ever had. You saw what it did to Barack Obama, who was a relatively young man. He turned gray.
We all do.
Yes. And so you're starting out old and bent over and decrepit. What is this job going to do? I resent that our president, Trump, spends so much time, aside from the fact I'm paying for it, at his golf club, but he needs to relax. He needs to have executive time. He watches TV. He's old.
I remember
in the worst sense of the word.
I remember predicting, and it looks like I'm going to be wrong, although there's still time for me to be right, that Trump would not serve more than one term for one of three reasons. Either he would be ousted by the voters, which is the most likely at this point. I thought he wasn't going to run for re-election because I thought he was just going to get tired of it.
Pride.
And then the other thing that I thought was he might drop dead in office because he's overweight and out of shape and the pressure of this job might get to him. He seems to have skirted that in this sense, as you just pointed out. He doesn't seem to be working that hard.
He doesn't work.
Yeah.
No.
Tangentially connected to age. I'm interested. The intrigue for me is to see whether Biden comes out swinging. In other words, there is anecdotally, you can see that some people say, well, he's too old. He's doddering. He is losing his grip. Will he come out? And all early intelligence on this debate is that they will not be focusing on each other. They'll still be hammering Trump and having a more unified front. But my opinion is, if Biden is going to make some headway, he will have to come out swinging to some extent.
Well, I want to take a great danger to myself, knowing who you are. I want to take a great umbrage at what you've just said.
What
first
part?
Of all, well, almost all of it.
Really?
I mean, let's face it. Trump may be everything everybody on this panel has said, but he got himself elected president of the United States. Now, there'll be 45 letters saying no, he didn't, 3 million more votes for Hillary. But he is the president of the United States, and it took something diabolical in my mind for him to understand how to do that. But he did it, right? I mean,
it again.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Now, on top, because I don't think, by the way, that he's going easily.
No,
if it looks
I agree.
Like he's gonna, if it looks like he's gonna lose, he's gonna figure something out. He's, you know, I mean, here's a guy who's in the 30s in terms of his popularity. And we know that, you know, he'll start talking about how the election is rigged. He'll start talking about all of that stuff. Now, as one last thing, coming up to the debate strategy right now, you're all assuming that I think you're assuming that Biden has to come out swinging. I don't think so. I don't think that's why people like Biden. I think because he's not a swinger, because he is not a guy.
Okay. All right.
He's too old.
We've established
he's too
that.
Too old to be a swinger.
Get the little blue pills there, Joey. Let's take a break here. It's the roundtable panel, 946. Rosemary Armeo, Ira Fussfeld, and Alan Chartok. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Roundtable. 9:48 is the time. It's a Thursday morning. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. It's the Roundtable panel today. Ira Fussfeld is here. Rosemary Armeo and Alan Chartok. And Rosemary, you wanted to add one more thing.
Well, we were talking about Biden's approach. And Alan, I agree with you. I think that Biden's strength is in his avuncular normalcy. And so when Kamala Harris attacked him in the first debate and he came out and said, "How dare you? You attack my record," blah, blah, it was exactly the wrong thing. He could have easily have said, "I am so sorry you were that young girl at the bus stop. Here's what I was trying to do. You were too young to know this then." You know, he could have used his experience and his goodwill and I think his actual real intentions. And instead, he tried to be something he isn't. If he tries to out-Trump Trump, Trump will win. He beat Marco Rubio doing this, Jeb Bush. You can't out-rude Trump.
Well, in a worldwide wrestling federation sense, that I assume that the presidential debates will be.
Right.
How are you going to beat Trump in going that route?
Well, he can be mean and miserable towards Trump. He cannot towards Kamala Harris or Elizabeth Warren or Bernie. He is going to be the one moderate in a room full of progressives and free thinkers like Andrew Yang. And he has to show he's bright enough to understand what they're talking about. But because of the good of the country and his own, he knows the other side. He knows the working man. It won't work the way they think. That's the approach he needs to take.
Do you have a feeling with real enthusiasm about any of these Democrats?
Oh, I love Elizabeth Warren.
You do.
But I fear that she would not be, she couldn't win. So, I have real enthusiasm, as I did for Hillary Clinton. But also, the electability thing is huge.
Any of them electable on the national stage?
Listen,
are any of them electable? The polls show that all of them are over Trump.
But if Rosemary is in a race, the field as a whole has a 60% chance, let's say, of beating Rosemary. But when it gets down to one, is anyone going to have a chance?
Yeah, we don't know the answer to that because there are so damn many candidates.
Darn.
Public
radio.
I forgot. I really think Democrats are not working for the party, which would be that by this point some ought to be dropping out. And, of course, I don't think Bernie will ever drop out. I think that was a bad mistake, a horrible thing he did last time.
Well, we have
we see it happening now, too. Sorry.
Well, go ahead. We have a stack of letters here on topic, so I thought I might blast through a few of these. Roseanne from Stormville writes, "I was talking to my 26-year-old son and his friends, and they said they hope Biden doesn't win the Democratic ticket. They said they would stay home and not vote. They all liked Warren. Biden is too old. I talked them into voting either way." And that's from Roseanne in Stormville.
Boy,
it just drives
me crazy when I hear that. If you want another term of Trump, you have to vote who the opposition is.
So we have to assume, Ira, if that's the case, that they may not care about whether you get another.
You know, if they're 26 years old, think about what their future is going to be if Trump has another 4 years in that White House.
That's you projecting them. But what we're talking about is a letter writer from a woman who says her kid would stay home. Now, I talked him into going to vote, she says. Okay, Mom, I'm going to go vote.
That's your job as a parent, is to get after them. Get them vaccinated, get them to school, and get them to the voting booth. That's your job as a parent.
All right, this one's from Bob in Albany. "Likeability is important, but every time I see Biden being interviewed or at a debate, he looks frail. I'm worried that Trump will roll right over him on the debate stage."
Trump looks frail.
I think Biden is showing his age. He's a lot thinner, and he seems a little bit more halting. And but again, Trump the same. You watch him try to reach for a word, and he doesn't
have it. He's like a heart attack. Yeah.
Did he forget who Barron was yesterday? Did I saw that on Twitter?
She has a door. Our son. What?
Yeah, no, I heard that. That was unbelievable. She has a son as if it's not his son.
Well, I mean, it's true. She has a son. This is from Daisy. Buttigieg considered the moderate alternative to Biden. That seems to be the general consensus among political pundits.
I don't think that's true. I think Buttigieg is incredibly promising, but most people are thinking he doesn't have the experience. We've had enough experiments with the inexperienced. Let him run for, I don't know.
And he has a little bit more problem with the black vote than
in
does
South Bend,
Biden.
Right, yeah. Right.
This one is from Gail. I want to elect a candidate to lead for the next decade. Biden and Sanders are at best one-term candidates. Do we want to go through the selection process in 4 years? And that's from Gail.
Did you see the bumper sticker that says Trump 2024?
Oh, God.
And Bill Kristol, the conservative never Trumper, suggesting that, oh, this is good. Trump is finally acknowledging that he's not going to win this time. And
wow.
He's getting ready for the next
one.
Wow.
Yeah.
There are some who are suggesting that Biden could be like a Pope Benedict when the Catholic Church went through the tumultuous times of change and reform, and everything was all pulled apart, and then there was the pederasty problem. And Benedict came in and was very old-time and traditional and held a place for a short period, and then Pope Francis came in. So they're seeing a Biden presidency.
So
let's
now,
just get back to normal, calm down after Trump.
Well, there's something
to
say for that.
Democrats are now looking for divine intervention.
That would be good.
Isn't that ironic?
By the way, kidding around aside, I think that when Trump gets out of office, there is going to be hell to pay. I mean, I believe that he will be indicted. I believe that he will be he'll be brought to the bar of justice. So there'll be no coming back in 24.
That's really interesting. There's a wonderful exercise that friends have been doing on the internet, which is if Trump got out, you have a Democrat in. What are the laws? What are the traditions that have to become laws that we learned under the Trump administration left us frail? And I'm not talking just about the Electoral College. That's pie in the sky. But, you know, a law like I just mentioned about the president needs a public physical every year. I don't mean that we watch him get.
Right.
You know, the results are.
Turn your head
and
off.
Well, he's had a public physical, and based on what we've seen with the weather and everything else, who knows
horrible.
Whether that was a, who knows whether what he
wow.
what the results were legitimate. I never believed it, not from minute one.
All right, this one came in from John. I think the comments here kind of miss the point of what an issue is. Sure, there are issues like immigration, health care, and the environment. However, if you accepted money from large corporate interests, that's a valid issue. If your administration locked up people of color at disproportionate rates, that's an issue. If you sent kids to die in Iraq for a lie, that's an issue. Hypocrisy and poor judgment are reasons not to vote for someone. And that is from John. This one's from Gina. As candidates drop out, Warren is only going to gain support. Biden is not going to gain any more support. His supporters are already on board, but Warren will benefit the greatest as the other candidates drop out.
I don't agree with that. And here's why I don't agree with it. Because if the issue is electability, and people think that Biden, even if they don't, even if they'd rather have a Bernie or Warren and all, I think if they think he can win, he'll get some more support. That's what I think.
She definitely does have a Bernie problem. That'll be those two will divide a vote, and
no
he
question.
Will never drop out.
Never.
Would he ever run as a VP?
Oh no!
Come on! And nor would he be chosen. Nor would he be chosen as a VP. What would the advantage of choosing Bernie as a VP?
Galvanizing the hard left, right?
What? Oh, yeah. Well, I don't think so. I think Bernie is. I think Bernie is a guy. I may have interviewed Bernie more than anybody in this world because remember on Congressional Corner.
Oh, yeah.
He was on all the time.
Yep.
And I have a sense of who he is and what he's about. He told me way before anybody thought he was not kidding that he was going to run for president. I didn't believe him, and he ran for president, and he damn near almost got the nomination. He's extraordinary.
The same could be said about Trump, by the way. No one talked more to the press than he did, and he won not just the nomination but the whole shebang.
This one's from Lisa. One thing I think that Trump is doing correctly is peacemaking with North Korea, regardless of how evil Kim Jong-un is. And I've heard Biden in the news saying that Trump shouldn't make peace with the evil Kim Jong-un. I worry that Biden would exacerbate a nuclear situation with North Korea. And that is from Lisa in Cummington.
The one flaw in that is where's the peace in North Korea? He's still sending off missiles, and Trump is excusing him. We are pulling back from military exercises in South Korea. I would contend that we are more more endangered than rather than safer.
And not only that, there's a small issue in terms of nuclear potential on the part of North Korea. It's called China, you know, next door. China is not going to let that happen. That's my view of it.
Ira?
I read a statistic, and I'm hesitant to repeat it because I don't think I have it. I may not have it right, but
oh, good.
There is more. There have been more missile tests by Kim Jong-un in the Trump administration than there was in the Obama administration. So
yeah,
how's that working out for him?
But not nuclear missile tests.
But you don't need to shoot off nuclear.
Right.
The tests are you do it at a subnuclear level.
No, ballistic missiles, and you have rockets,
exactly.
And so you know ballistic.
No,
missiles.
I tell you, I don't think the Chinese would countenance it, not for a single minute, because as soon as those missiles start to fly, they're gone.
All right, one more email here, and then we'll have to take a break for news. This one is from Barbara in Sudbury, Vermont. I think Biden plans to be only a one-term president. His VP is the important person to follow him.
You could be well right, and that's why I've always thought it was going to be, and I know I always mispronounce her first name, but I've always thought it was going to be Kamala.
Let's take a break here. There are more emails to read, and I'm sure we'll get some more at panel@wamc.org. Rosemary Armeo is on the panel. Ira Fussfeld, Alan Chartok, Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. We'll break for news and be back. Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. 10:05 on a Thursday morning. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. It's the Roundtable panel. If you're just tuning in, it got off to a kind of a slow start. Rosemary and I exchanged uncomfortable pleasantries till about 9:18. And then Alan.
Why were they so uncomfortable?
You know why? Because we didn't know how long they were going to take.
That's
we had to
true.
Space out our
yeah.
pleasantness.
We had to speak in slow motion.
In general, we're not that pleasant. And we only had so many bullets we could fire.
Well, but you know, it's like Seinfeld. When the four of them were together, they all felt comfortable. But when George and Elaine were by themselves, they didn't know what to say to each other.
Exactly it.
You see, it's all about Seinfeld.
I'm Elaine, you're George.
Good guess.
That's Ira. And Alan is also here. We got a stack of letters here.
I'm here.
WAMC.org. This one is subject heading Duh Debate. This is from Jamie. The way the DNC should play it tonight and in the entire primary is that there are no bad ideas on the stage. The issue is if some of those ideas are too far ahead of themselves, requiring a more tepid approach. And no matter what, every idea on the stage is 1,000 times better than the present administration. Also, brain rot can occur at any age, especially if your diet is nothing but fast food. The presidency requires incredible stamina. And that is from Jamie. Yeah, right. This one's from Jay. Hello, panel.
Hello.
The most important thing as a president does is put together a qualified team. How many of you went to your grandparents over your parent for advice?
Well, Trump fails there, too, doesn't he?
I don't know.
I didn't.
No?
No.
Why?
Well, it's a long story.
All right. Let's skip it. This one is from William. Subject heading, the best ideas will be left out. Andrew Yang and Cory Booker are the only candidates who embrace nuclear energy as part of their climate change agenda. The rest of the Dems have ignored or rejected this idea. So the only energy source that could be scaled to meet public demand with zero carbon emission is absent from the rest of the candidates' climate change platform. Yang and Booker, the only ones with a serious plan that addresses this signature issue, neither one will win the primary. And that's from William.
Well, you know, the way our system works is that just because you have a brilliant idea, you don't automatically get to be the pick. But your idea does live on. And Bernie Sanders is an example of that. He takes credit for bringing the party back towards the left and to make Medicare for All something less than a radical extremist fringe idea. And income inequality has become an issue on both parties. Ideas, good ideas, are always worthwhile, and they do filter down.
Hearing nothing. This one is from Stephen. Leading Schmieding is the subject heading. Not enthusiastic about Joe Biden. As his wife said, swallow a little bit and vote for Joe. I really hope I don't need to hold my nose and vote for another status quo candidate. Also, mere winning isn't good enough. It takes a large margin to win against the Republican cheating machine. And that is from Stephen. Anybody who wants to chime in here, go right ahead.
Yeah, I don't get that. In other words, I think right now Biden has the best chance of winning. This is not an endorsement, folks, but that's what I think. He has the best chance. So when Stephen says it has to be by a lot, and Biden isn't the one to do that, if I'm hearing him correctly, I don't get that.
All right. Go ahead, Ira.
No.
No? Good?
Yep. All I'll be doing is repeating myself.
All right.
All I'll be doing
or
is
repeating
myself.
Hey, we have time. Go
all
ahead.
I'll be doing is repeating myself.
This one is from RR, subject, the vote. I'm a registered Democrat. All 40-plus years of my voting life, I voted in every election offered. I'm considering not voting in 2020. Wait, let RR finish. I'm considering not voting in 2020 because the only Democratic votes that counted in 2016 were in swing states. Nancy Pelosi decided who the Democratic candidate would be, despite the Democratic vote for Sanders, and the Electoral College elected the president, despite the popular vote for Clinton. I believe that my vote has no value to anyone. I have missed, if it has occurred, any discussion of how this problem will be addressed. And that's from RR.
The only way it can be addressed is the following. One, get out the vote. And Democrats, I keep saying, have not come up with new ideas to entice people to come and vote no matter what. And two is everybody has to vote. How would you feel if the swing votes all went for the Democrat and they lost because of other states where people said, oh, my vote doesn't count?
Well, so let me tell you a story about Alan. And he ran for town council one time and he lost by one vote.
Well, then the number three would be eliminating the Electoral College. I mean, New York State is essentially not part of the presidential election process. The candidates won't campaign here except at the Al Smith dinner in New York City.
True.
Because the New York, we know which way New York is going to go.
Yeah, well. Wait, first of all, we know people have been on the panel. I believe Fran and others have actually said, instead of saying, well, my vote won't count in New York, I'm going to go campaign in a swing state, and I'm going to knock on doors, and I'm going to say I feel so strongly about this. So, you know, that's a little bit much, as Aunt Ruth would say.
I mean, I do think it's worth thinking about. I have a place in Florida, so can I change my residence? I'd still
not even change
your
residence.
Change my residence. I want to vote in Florida. They need more blue votes down there.
Sure.
This one is from Barbara. Regarding the Trump 2024 bumper sticker, I heard on a radio piece yesterday that it is not in regard to Donald Sr., but Donald Jr. He has jumped into campaigning for his father, and the crowds love his style. He's channeling his dad and loves to talk about his guns. Gosh. Conservatives are now talking of a Trump dynasty. There was audio of Jr. at a rally for his father, and the crowd went wild when he yelled out Trump 2024. That is from Barbara in Pittsfield.
I commend your attention to Frank Bruni's column in the New York Times either yesterday or the day before, which he basically says that Trump will not go away because of the kids, because Trump will form his own TV channel, because Trump will not do what most former presidents do, and hold their tongue regarding their successor. But it's an enlightening and aggravating column. Frank Bruni.
I still think he's going to jail. And, you know, there have been – remember that we have accepted this ridiculous idea that a president cannot be indicted. But there have been indications all along in the Mueller report and other things that he may be in real trouble when he gets out, if he gets out.
Now, this one is from Molly and the subject heading hoped for scenario. Once again, thanks for getting the synapses firing. Well, it's our pleasure. Age is definitely an issue in this election. How about this one? Biden is the Democratic candidate with either Warren or Harris as his VP. He wins. After 6 months, he has to resign for health reasons or maybe to spend more time with his family. Whatever. The new prez appoints Buttigieg as her VP. Hooray. And that's from Molly in Lanesboro.
I don't think the country would want to see that. I just, even if you believe in those people and like those people, I just think that that kind of upheaval is not, we're looking for stability in the government now, not for that kind of thing.
This one's from Margaret, subject heading electability. Why is it that when someone is asked who they like, they say Warren, but I'm not sure about her electability? Warren is the choice, and if folks would stop this negative approach and say, I love Warren, let's work for her, we'd be closer to what's real right now. Warren is incredible. If she has a Bernie problem, that's good. Bernie could have won the election. And that's from Margaret.
Go ahead.
Gosh, yeah. I just don't. That's just so pie in the sky. Jeez.
Why?
Because it doesn't
work. This person likes Elizabeth Warren.
I like Elizabeth Warren. I still worry that she won't be elected. This country does not vote for women.
This one is from Rachel in Chesterfield, Mass. Elizabeth Warren's ability to excite is exactly why she can win. People need to be inspired to vote, not bored.
Well, then how do you explain Trump? Oh, yeah, Trump's not boring, is he? They need to be entertained. Oh, God help us.
This one is from Bruce in Johnstown, New York. Age of the President is the subject heading. The AARP magazine of 2 months ago had a relatively long article about a new drug that may be available by 2021 that could extend human life to 100 or beyond and improve health overall. Undoubtedly, the wealthy will attempt to price it so that only they can afford it. The research has been done by the U.S. government, which affords legal rights to strip any company of its rights to sell it if they try such things. Further, the Declaration of Independence asserts the inalienable right, natural right, to equal life of all men regardless of wealth. It also prescribes remedies should these rights be abridged. Well, I don't know if we have to worry about that, right?
Well, if I understood that correctly, the acceptable age for a president is probably higher than it was 40 years ago. I mean, if you reach 70 as a president, 75, and served the two terms, you might have that people in those years might have thought that was too old. Mm. 80 doesn't seem so old anymore. Certainly,
yes,
when you're well, not when you're 71. Look, you can see.
I'm 80. Sorry, 80 is old.
Well, Alan.
Alan, I tilted over.
I actually want to correct the record a little bit. It wasn't the town council that I ran for.
Oh, really? What did you run for?
I was a selectman in Alford, Massachusetts, and one day I didn't go and show up, and we lost by a vote.
You see.
You know, if you ever retire, you could move back to Fire Island and run for mayor there or whatever the office is.
Oh, A2 Ira?
Yeah, but by the way, just so you'll know, almost every Fire Islander is a New Yorker, New York Cityer, where you were 1 out of 8 million votes. A guy came along, just for whatever it's worth, and he bought a lot of businesses, and he had the business kids who worked for him all register as voters.
Yeah.
And they were 1 out of 200 as opposed to 1 out of 8 million. They won the election.
This one's from Paula. Subject heading is Joe Biden. He looks older than Trump. His ideas are old. Also does not excite the electorate. Many younger people will stay home. And that's from Paula.
Many younger people will stay home no matter who the candidates
are. Exactly. And we have had people on the show, without naming names, who have said they talk to their students and their students are all going to vote baloney. They're not. Yeah. We've been teaching all of these years, and we know what happens.
Yeah, I'm sorry to be so cynical, but Alan, I mean, I am just not willing to make any bargain that's based on do this and the young people will come out and vote. Don't believe it.
This one is from Rick. Subject heading, listen. Good morning. The letter about the 26-year-old not voting if Biden is the candidate is something I've been writing to you guys about for the last 2 months. Take that 30 and under vote and energize them, and we will win by 5 percentage points. Warren can do it. Biden can't. I also have 3 kids and about 30 employees in that age group. I listen to them. We should all listen to them. And that is from Rick in Woodstock. This one is from Jim in Enfield, Connecticut. Allen declares that Trump got himself elected president of the United States. How about bad decisions by James Comey? James Comey and Hillary Clinton got Trump elected president of the United
States. I'll buy it. Absolutely correct. But he did, one way or another, get to be president of the United States. Yes, Comey was a disgrace. No question.
This one is from Marlene in Woodstock. Subject heading, progressive or moderate? Good morning. Regarding the progressive versus moderate rhetoric, I'd like to remind you that Andrew Yang is gaining support from conservatives, libertarians, as well as progressives and liberals. He ranked second behind Biden in the New Hampshire Emerson poll in head-to-head contest against Trump. And that is from Marlene in Woodstock.
Well, this is a very interesting question. If you lose in New Hampshire, which I think is a very good possibility for Biden, sooner or later you get to South Carolina, and that's where you really whump the other guys. You do extremely well if you're Biden. Now, in the old days, New Hampshire could change everything. I don't think that's true anymore.
Interesting.
Did you read what happened in North Carolina yesterday?
Yes, horrifying.
Unbelievable. The legislature there, the Republicans conducted a vote to override the governor's veto on a budget bill. The Democrats were predominantly not there because they were told there would be no vote taken, and they went to 9/11 ceremonies. So the Republicans just blatantly stole the vote.
This one came in from Paul, subject heading, Beating Trump! Exclamation point. I'm a lifelong registered independent. I've had the misfortune of actually meeting and interacting in business with our dear president. I was also a member of the parish at the church where he married Melania. And when he actually attended, they used to sit three pews ahead of us. I've always thought the man was a buffoon, and quite frankly, it scares the bejesus out of me that he is the president of the U.S. What concerns me is that the Democrats really need to get their act together and put somebody on the ticket who can blow him out of the office. In the current field, I really don't see anyone that could do it. While I think Elizabeth Warren is quite a good candidate, I'm still not certain the country is ready to elect a woman, and I'm not sure that Biden has the ability to capture the heart and minds of the general electorate. We need another Barack Obama or Bill Clinton. However, I don't see anybody in the running who has that much charisma, and that is from Paul.
Okay, but sooner or later, we're going to have a woman president of the United States. No two ways about it. I get what Rosemary is saying in terms of, electability. But sooner or later, this country will have a woman as president of the United States. I do think that Warren has shown tremendous dexterity and ability in this campaign. She's gotten over Pocahontas and all that nonsense that was being thrown at her. And the question to me is, does boring Joe versus exciting Elizabeth, how does that come out? I've met her, I know her, I like her, and I think, it might be a very interesting time to see what happened.
Ira mentioned much earlier in this program how the discussion about health care will be an important one, or health insurance, I should say. And somebody mentioned the fact that it was Bernie who sort of moved the whole discussion much more in favor of Medicare for all. Biden's approach would seem to be less costly than Warren's or some of the other candidates. Does that play into general electability in November 2020?
I'm afraid that all of the Democrats, including Biden's ideas about health care, are too extreme for voting in the general election, that it all will be painted as socialism. Look at what Trump did by saying, no, we're against Obamacare. There was no replacement. There was no discussion as to what was wrong with it. It was like forcing you to buy health insurance, right? That was infringed on our rights somehow. That's pretty flimsy, considering that the alternative is what we have now, 6 more million people out of insurance.
Hasn't
at
Biden
all.
Said he wants to improve on Obamacare?
He says, why start a whole new system? Yeah. Let's build on Obamacare. That's the closest to me.
Isn't that a dangerous, given the fact that Obamacare was basically demonized in the last election cycle?
But except that it came back. In 2018, you saw people stampeding. Yeah, you saw people stampeding, like Tom Cotton's office, saying, what do you have instead? And don't forget, McConnell hasn't come up with anything. We're still hearing, oh, yeah, they're at work on it. We don't have a Republican health care plan.
Alan.
He's lost him.
He's dead. Oh, my God. Alan, are you there? I think we lost him.
Uh-oh.
Oh, here I am.
Oh, hello. Hi. Oh,
here
I
am.
Alive. Yes.
Yeah, here I am. Yeah.
Right.
No, I mean, look, I think we've heard from almost everyone, every point of view today in terms of electability and not electability. It certainly got me scratching my head.
Because?
Well, because I think we're making assumptions that may not be valid. In other words, our assumption is, as Rosemary said, she's afraid a woman can't win. There's an assumption. On the other hand, as I just said, sooner or later, a woman is going to win in this country, and it'll be exciting. Remember when a black man couldn't win for president? And a black man won. We have at least one gay candidate running this time. He hasn't gotten the
support. He can't win either.
You think because of his gayness?
No, I think that's blessedly an extremely minor part of his campaign.
Yeah, well, you may be right.
Is his shots at, or his perceived shots at religion an issue?
No, I think it's his issues over of blacks in South Bend. Yeah, the way police have been killing.
But Alan, you've been watching this even longer than I have. You would acknowledge that people may well vote because of a candidate's appearance, their demeanor, their tics. I mean, wasn't the folklore that if there was television in the 30s and 40s, that FDR could never have been elected because he's in a wheelchair?
Well, we'll never know, right? We will never know what a beloved figure he was. The first time, maybe, but after that, you know, I mean, Lincoln and Roosevelt, that those were the two most popular presidents in our history in Washington.
But that was before the age of TV, yeah. Which came in the 1960s, and Nixon lost to Kennedy because Kennedy was so darn good looking.
No, and because Nixon had a 5 o'clock shadow.
Beard.
And a sweating fit.
And that debate was...
People who listened on radio thought Nixon won.
No, but that debate was not in front of an audience. That was my question.
No, I don't believe so. Just in the studio, which is a big deal.
Getting back to a point you brought up an hour ago. Yeah. This one came in from Mayor in Hinsdale, Massachusetts. Trump had foreign help in 2016 election.
Yep.
Mary writes, someone is saying Trump got himself elected with no reference to the findings of the Mueller report. Russia interfered in America's 2016 election in favor of candidate Trump. We have not heard the last of the heretofore impossible manipulations by social media company Cambridge Analytica, which sent specific messages to specific populations by the moment, depending on other information in a sophisticated and effective dis- and or misinformation campaign to elect candidate Trump.
All of that is true. On the other hand, he's president of the United States. And whether or not he was in complicity, is that that's the right word, with the Russians, I've always thought he was.
And he got away with it. So your point is right. He figured out what he could get away with, and he did everything he had to become president.
This one's from Janet, and the subject heading is age. I'm a young 68, and although I do appreciate the wisdom that seems to come along with aging, the presidency should be for people in their mid-60s or younger, except for Elizabeth Warren, who's unbelievably sharp, energetic, and wise for a person of any age.
I love that, except for...
we saw Ronald Reagan dement while in office, and now we are witnessing... Yeah, that's an interesting
dement
word.
As a verb. I love it.
I demand you dement.
And now we are witnessing the obvious breakdown of the capacities of Trump and his faltering grasp of reality, especially as the world changes faster and faster. We need people who can keep us up and stay sharp. So, Janet here says mid-60s or younger.
Everybody has to make that. I don't know. I wouldn't write that into law, but it certainly is going to be something. One of the things about John F. Kennedy and Obama was that they portrayed vitality, the youthfulness.
Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton as well. Yes. I think it's important.
Yeah.
This one's from Nancy. Nancy writes, Nelson Mandela became president of South Africa at the age of 76. Was he too old? Chronological age and fitness for office are only statistically related. We have to look at the individual. Millennials favor Bernie Sanders, and it has nothing to do with his age. It's his policies, consistency, and integrity. There's no law that an older president would have to seek a second term, except most of them do. If Democrats are foolish enough to nominate Joe Biden, they're practically begging to lose. And that's from Nancy.
Well, Nelson Mandela may well have been too old, but he was a different case. He was a seminal figure in that country.
He was a saint. I mean, it would be like saying
Whatever, he was older. He got out of jail. He did extremely well. People loved him, and, you know, he could have kept on going.
I agree with Rosemary.
No, I don't think so, Alan. He was pretty sick at the end.
Well, let's have everybody check their crystal ball here. And who wins the debate tonight, Rosemary? A clear victor?
Oh, will there be a clear victor? I think so, and I think it will be. It won't be Biden. I'm gonna go with Elizabeth Warren.
Are there any of the also ran field that'll be up there that will make a big impression and possibly make a jump?
Well, you know, Andrew Yang will make a big impression. I like him. I think he has wonderful ideas. It's a little weird that he's running for president, I think, but I love listening to him.
Ira.
Nope. I don't think there'll be a clear winner, and I'm concerned that the net result of this night is going to be negative for the Democrats as a whole.
No, why? Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to go at each other. It's going to go beyond simply an issues debate. There's this for some of them. It may be their last chance, and they're going to have to throw a Hail Mary. As I started talking about the debate an hour or so ago, I'm just not inclined to like these things. So I enter them with a negative.
But is that always a bad thing? Now, we saw the Republicans with 8,000 people on the stage, and it became just a brawl. And the guy who was throwing most of the haymakers ended up winning. Is that necessarily a terrible thing?
Well, look who we got.
Yeah.
But he won.
Well, he won, and that's because he was a unique circumstance.
You think?
Yes, I hope.
Alan.
I don't know what to tell you.
Who wins tonight?
I don't know what to tell you. I don't know if it matters if anybody wins. The great suspect here is the press, who will, of course, you know, aggregate and somehow say somebody won and somebody didn't win.
Now, why do you call the press a suspect?
You mentioned that in your commentary this morning, and I couldn't quite understand why you...
Well, for example, let me give you an example.
All right, you only have 30 seconds.
Very quickly. Right now, if you watch CNN and the rest of them, it's coming down, according to these broadcasters, to Biden versus Elizabeth Warren. And yet, Bernie and Elizabeth are exactly in the same place in the polls, but you hear very little about Bernie. That's why the press has a great deal to do with it.
All right. I think that's where we will have to leave it today. Alan Shartok, I want you to have some nice chai tea and soothe your voice, and then we'll hear from you tomorrow.
Yes, you will.
Chicken soup.
Ira Fusswell, you have the chicken soup.
No, I love it.
Investigative journalist Rosemary
Armel. I want ice cream.
You want ice cream?
Yeah.
Well, you're retired now. Go get some ice cream. Play some Mahjong with your mom. It'll all be good.
Yeah.
Thank you all for joining us here on the Roundtable panel. A reminder, we have much good stuff ahead on this program. You are listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.